While the Galesburg Education Association has ratified a four-year contract with the District 205 Board of Education, it is not without a significant amount of frustration and disappointment that we have to move forward into a new school year. While many provisions of the contract itself are acceptable to the majority of the membership, the punitive and vindictive nature of the return-to-work agreement are beyond insulting. Due to parameters available for a vote in these circumstances, the GEA could not legally separate the contract and the return-to-work agreement into individual votes. The community must be made aware that the school board and administration, which claim to make decisions in the best interests of students, have significantly and unnecessarily shortened the number of days students will be in school, also forfeiting state aid attached to student attendance days. However, the motivation that prompted the board's decision seems clear. By docking pay for teachers for their constitutional right to strike, District 205 stands to profit an estimated $400,000 to $500,000 in spite of the lost state aid. In addition, the board and central office administration have financially crippled retirees for the rest of their lives. The amount of salary lost in this upcoming year, combined with the lost amount of salary compounded in the remaining years before retirement, is outrageous. Furthermore, brand new teachers of our district, whether they perform duties on the picket line or not, have received the same overwhelming number of docked days and lost wages when they hadn't even been given a contract to sign. Unethical tactics, misinformation, and outright lies have been continuously fed to the parents, the students, and community from the administration prior to and throughout the negotiation process. It continued through late Wednesday night with Mr. Arthur giving a thumbs up to football players gathered outside his window, knowing full well that nothing could be official until after the GEA voted on the proposal. The administration's actions continued to speak volumes with the misguided hope provided by the announcements that prematurely and irresponsibly notified the community that the school would resume on Friday even before the GEA had voted. There are just too many examples of unscrupulous practices. And then the return to work proposal to the GEA falls directly in line with the administration's established routine. The GEA accepted the contract proposal by a slight majority of just 52.3%, which indicates that despite weighty reservations, the needs of the students in our community were clearly a higher priority for the majority, despite these sacrifices that teachers had to make. The school board and the administration, on the other hand, have sacrificed nothing of their own, only the integrity of our students' education. The school board president said at the August 18th board meeting that both sides are to blame for the lengthy negotiations. If that is the case, why is it that students and teachers are the only ones unnecessarily suffering?
Can you explain how the administration's unnecessarily shortening the number of days students will be in school? We've been under the impression that everything has to be made up.
Do you want to respond to that?
It would be our hope as the Galesburg Education Association that all of the days would be made up. That's not going to be the case. Instead of a school year of 174 or 176 days total, with 174 of student attendance, they've elected to shorten that to 168. There's no reason for that. Those days could easily be made up in a number of ways, and the school board and the administration rejected all of our attempts to do that. One of our ideas was to use the example of the school calendar that's being used in Knoxville, where because of some construction issues over there, they had to delay the start of their school year, and they're starting the day after Labor Day. One of our proposals was to take a look at theirs and try to maybe modify a little bit off what they had done. And all of those attempts to get a full school year in for our kids were all rejected by the school board and the administration.
Is that where you're coming up then with the, by going that route, that's where the district's able to profit from $400,000 to $500,000, or could you explain that statement further?
Well, it was an estimation from our bargaining team that came up with that. In terms of looking at the estimated amount that we would lose in state aid by students not being in attendance, you know, that's a hit to the district. But then when you take back through the dock days, the number of days that employees will not be working, then the amount of state aid that they've lost is now made up, and then some even more, by the amount that they will save in the salaries that they will not be paying. And our question is, so how's that money going to be used then? Where's that money going to go for? It's got to account for something.
So how many days are the teachers going to be paid in back pay, however that works?
Well, we're taking 6 dock days. We do have an option to use some sick days to take that down to 4, potentially. One of our frustrations with the number of dock days also is that we didn't have to be out of school as long as we were. We were willing and made it very clear to the administration we would meet any time, any way to get this done, but it was their refusal to meet without a federal mediator that dragged out this process. Consequently, the mediator was available on 5 days total with negotiations. One of those was on a Sunday. Really, it comes down to 4 days that we lost due to the strike, due to the negotiations. Anything else beyond that was because of the administration's refusal to meet with us.
One of the questions we'd asked the chief negotiator yesterday was, we had known that contract agreement had been taken care of, she said, by late afternoon yesterday.
Right.
And then you had to work on, you know, the come back to school, all of that language. It sounds like there was a lot of challenges in coming up with language for the return to work process, correct?
I would agree with that, yes. And I would also say that based on the membership vote today, that the membership felt very strongly that that was the biggest impediment to coming back. I would say, and we're all in agreement, the general indication was the language within the contract itself, we could probably live with that, but the highly punitive and from our standpoint, it feels very much like we're being punished for doing what we felt was right all along, standing up for a number of these issues, and instead, we'll have to take the hit for that.
And when you're saying punitive, are you referencing just the docked days, or are there more terms also in that part of the contract?
Well, the docked days, you know, there's a financial loss for a number of families who have
dual incomes,
thank you, mothers and fathers who both work in the districts, husbands and wives who both work in the district. But I think our bigger concern really lies, first of all, with the people who are in our retirement, what we call the pipeline. They've put in their notice that they're going to be retiring within a 4-year period. That is an incremental amount. It's a compounding amount. So what happens is their salary gets docked, then they get the 6% on top of that, which means they're already going to be getting less into their retirement in the final 1, 2, 3, or 4 years of their contract than they would have been making. If they're going for more than a year, well, that amount compounds in the second, third, and fourth year, which means you're starting at a lesser amount to compound on top of that. That's a significant amount of money that's going to hurt people for the rest of their lives. And we're very concerned about that. Secondly, we feel especially unfair. It was unfairly done for those first-year teachers who were never given a contract. They never had a contract to sign. They never had the opportunity to become employees officially of the school district. They'd gone through 3 days of new teacher training, but they never had a contract to sign. They were never on the salary schedule when this administrative shutout began back on August 13th. So consequently, they are being punished for something that they never really had any choice in. And those are probably where our bigger concerns lie. We've had a number of teachers who've said, you know, I could handle taking the dock days if some of these other really damaging aspects of the contract, of the back to work agreement hadn't been included in there.
Will we be able to see the contract?
It's my understanding that it'll be published online. Typically school districts make those available, and within the next week it'll be available online to the public.
Why is it so long?
That I don't know. That may be part of the bargaining issue. It may be a part of making sure that, you know, everything is spelled correctly. You know, I'm not exactly sure why that is. You know, it's not the kind of thing you just want to throw up there in a hasty manner.
So have the teachers seen what the contract is then? They might not even have it completely assembled?
We were given today during our meeting the significant changes that were in there. I don't think any aspects of the contract that hadn't changed from the past were presented to us, because those are things that we already have copies of. But we were shown even the slightest changes, showing how, you know, this word might have been capitalized now where it hadn't been capitalized before. And they addressed those fairly quickly. Those are minor. Those are not, you know, anything that anybody really had to debate. But when we got to the more substantive issues, yeah, they spent a considerable amount of time explaining how we got to that process and taking our questions. So yeah, we, in terms of the changes to the contract from anything that had been there in the past, yes, we did see those.
On an overhead screen. We did not have them in hand.
Right.
One of the big sticking points, we knew that the final sticking point was the riffing and how you were going to evaluate teachers. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what was compromised in terms of how that will work?
Well, let's see. It's a complicated process.
There were 2 years. They said for the first 2 years that basically they would follow our request, which they claimed was illegal, but yet it's put into our contract for 2 years rather than the full time. There was a difference that when that was negotiated, they wanted a 4-year contract, and we originally had been on a 3-year contract. So that was changed in order to get just those 2 years that we would have protection in that seniority from the 3 and 4. And in our process yesterday, which we never got to do a press release because they'd asked us not to speak on any of those things due to trying to come to a resolution with the board, and the mediator had asked that we not do any press releases after a certain point, and so we did not. But what we found out is that the evaluation tool, we were not trying to change the evaluation tool. Anybody, any in collective bargaining, if you want to say that people will be dismissed according to alphabetical order, you can say that. We were just saying to keep those two areas that had come with the evaluation tool as our riff for how we were going to riff and have recall rights back. So it's not illegal. And as we studied it further, we found that there's very little litigation or anything there. So when you go to Senate Bill 7, it asks you to go to another site to find out how it's, you know, what it says on that, the changes that you can have, and for riffing and recall. And it says that as this happens with districts, and it's very new, as it happens, that will become pretty much the legality and the way that it will be covered. It's through leaders of school districts who are leaders in that. And even their attorney, David Braun, who is known for writing different issues through the Illinois State Board of Education about this, said that it should happen like that. And it takes districts that should have strong communication skills and go through this slowly, not, you know, it's a tentative process, because it's a living and learning experience as you're implementing something new. For the first 2 years, if you have a distinguished, you're ranked with a 4, a distinguished, or a proficient, you will be considered or put together for the first 2 years the same way as what we had requested, that they were claiming was illegal. If it's illegal, I don't know how they put it in the contract then.
And then after the 2 years?
Then the next 2 years of the contract, it will not be done that way. There's no protection.
Can you give us an example, because this is really complicated.
Okay, an example of this is that we have started our process last year. If you're a first-year teacher, you get your evaluation done in that 1 year, and you know what your evaluation was, okay? If you are a tenured teacher, you've been with the district longer, you have a 2-year evaluation. You have one that is your
formal
evaluation, and one that's your informal, and they're done not necessarily any order in that way. And so this year, like last year, I did, for example, my formal evaluation, and then this year I have to wait. I don't get feedback and find out where I am until after this year is completed, when my informal is also done. So I know that I'll either be distinguished or proficient, okay? That's where it could be. And then we start our process again. Okay, so next year we'll start again with a 2-year cycle, all right? But will get one of those will be categorized correctly. The third year of the contract, because this is the first, next year would be the second, the third year of the contract, if they wanted to, if they're having a financial stress, they could then potentially give you a proficient and give younger teachers a distinguished rating. And that way, when it comes to riffing procedures, they can riff those higher paid senior people before they would riff a lower paid. And because we said that there was such a lack of trust and respect among the administration and the GEA members, your educators, that we wanted that guaranteed, because we really think that seniority, it just protects us from having that flaw, that loophole, where they can use it as a budgetary management process as well. Do you understand?
Yeah,
or okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
So in what way is it advantageous for either side to have it change after 2 years?
It's advantageous to their side because if they want to, quote unquote, clean house with people that haven't been following in line like they should, or if they cost too much, it's easy to do.